because we left off last week, we were talking about the din of Beria and the Batela. So we said that the example that's given in Shulchan Aruch about a Beria is a bug. It's not a tremendous surprise that that's the example, because that's what the Mishnah says in the third Brachah Makos. That's the original din deraisa Beria, but you eat less than a kazayas, if you eat a whole bug, so you would be chayav malchus. And then we quoted last week to Ritva, who says that the whole Chumar Midrabanan, that Beria and a Batela, is all a throwback to that din. It's all kein deraisa, that original din, that a Beria has chashivas to be chayav for less than a kazayas. Well, the Nami has chashivas for the Rabbanan not to ever be batel. So we pointed out at the end of the Shul last week that notwithstanding the fact that some of the Gedolei Achronim wanted to be Malamed Chus a little bit in Klal Yisrael, in terms of the bugs, they say maybe Beria doesn't apply to bugs because it's such a Tavash Eino Choshev, nobody cares about it. Well, nice, that's exactly what the case is in Shulchan Aruch. So it's hard to be maker like that. So we assume that a bug is considered to be a Beria, provided that it meets the criteria of Beria, namely it's still intact. If the bug is no longer intact, so then it's not a Beria anymore. So there's a big question about, can I unbury something? Can I go ahead and break up a bug in order to make it so it's no longer a Beria, to then be able to fall back on the regular din of Bittel? So is that a problem or not? So usually when we hear that kind of a Shaila, that smacks of Eimavat Nisalachachila. So when we spoke in the Simon Sadi test about Eimavat Nisalachila, we pointed out that there are three applications of Eimavat Nisalachila. There's the original case of taking chazer and throwing it into potato soup. Then there's a case where a little chazer was already in potato soup, but it wasn't batel b'shishim, so it mostly fell on heter. And then there was the third case of eimavat nesachim, which is a mishnah. If you have orla, if you have the nuts of the orla that are considered to be a deva chosher, but they're not batel, if you go ahead and you crack the nuts while they're all in the taroves, if you crack all the nuts, so then you would just mevatel the chashivas. So that's also considered to be a problem of eimavat nesachim. So here also, if you go ahead and you do something to break up the variness, that sounds like that should also be a violation. Which of course, if it's done b'mezin, will carry even within a kenas after the fact. So here there's a big question in the Rishonim whether this is really breaking up a barrier in this kind of a scenario. Is this really considered to be a problem for Eimavat Nesachila? The reason being is that usually Eimavat Nesachila, I have a specific goal. My goal is I really want everything here. I really, really want to eat all these nuts. I really want to eat this chazer. I really want to eat this tray for food. So just that I know that I can't do it unless I do it derech bittul. Over here, I would have much, much more preferred that this bug not be here in the first place. I would love to get this bug out of here. Give me an eitzah how to get the bug out. I have no idea how to get the bug out. So the best thing I can do is break up the bug. My goal is not to, I'm not interested in the issur here. My goal is, I want to be able to eat the food, but I'm not interested in being mevatel the issur per se. So maybe that's not considered to be a problem of eimavat nesachachila. If that would be true, it's not like zeb yishar, but if that would be true, then that would be a very good heter in terms of foods which have bugs in them. So to eat the food, let's say you have broccoli. So if I would say, you know you have bugs in the broccoli. So you know for a fact you got a bunch of bugs in the broccoli, and I mash up all the broccoli. I can't see any bugs. I'm looking around. I don't see anything. I have no idea. So if I know for a fact that whatever bugs would be there were mashed up already, so then it's going to be mutter. It's going to be a batel. And maybe it's mutter even l'chadchila to mash it up, knowing full well the bugs are going to get mashed up. Maybe that would also be okay. So if that's all true, what we just said, that's not called the name of Adnes l'chadchila, that would be a good heft if you want to not necessarily eat whole broccoli, but if you want to make a broccoli kugel or something, you want to make a broccoli souffle, you want to throw broccoli into the blender, so it's going to break up whatever bugs are there, and your particular goal is not to eat those extra bugs, you'd much rather not have them in the first place. So maybe you could argue that's not called Eimavat Nesachachila. So there are many hashgachas that rely on that. Even though they wouldn't permit their serving, let's say, this particular food just stopped, but if it was broken up already, then it would be all right. Then the question becomes, which processes will actually do the trick of breaking things up? So a lot of this is Matthias' questions. I'm not qualified to be able to answer this question in terms of whether certain processes break up a barrier. So one of the big questions is whether freezing. Can you assume just because a bug was frozen that's automatically gonna break it up, or no? So this is a machlokes to gedolei hashgachas in America. So those who are willing to give hashgachas on frozen vegetables, even those vegetables that are mukzokim, that they may have a talaim in them, so one of the tzadim l'hakol they were assuming was that the freezing process breaks up the barrier. Once it breaks up the barrier, so then it becomes batel. You can't really see the barrier, it's all stuck, it's in between the leaves, it's hard, very hard to see. So maybe it's considered to be batel. And other hashgachal organizations responding that the facts are not true, that the bug is not necessarily broken up, so it's right the barrier. Again, I'm not going to, far be it from me to make a stand on that particular issue. Whenever you deal with issues of bugs, we've been talking about what do you do about bittel of the bugs, who said there was a problem with the brothers in the first place? This is an age-old question. There are dinim and shulchan aruch about when something is called muksach b'talayim and not muksach b'talayim. How? What are the odds? How much do you have to be concerned about bugs? So l'chora, the rule should be based on whatever the rules of regular sfeikus are. So let's say, forget about bugs for a second. Let's say you have a particular food in front of you, and there's a possibility that this food is not kosher, but the rov is that the food probably is kosher. So this is what's called hochanach harov. So we all know there's a din achiram mahatas. The rov doesn't just mean things are bottle, but rov means you can follow statistics as well. So we spoke about this in the past. As ruv the isa kaman, ruv the leisa kaman. Ruv the isa kaman means when you have 10 stores, 9 of them are selling kosher, 1 selling treif. I find the meat on the floor. So that's called ruv the isa kaman. I can point to all the stores. Then you have ruv the leisa kaman. It means there's statistics odds that this food is probably kosher. So we rely on that all the time. We checked animals, and nobody checks for treifus today. We only check for the lungs. Why do we only check for the lungs? So the Rishonim, the Gemara Masechet Chulin, explained that you have to check for lungs because the lungs are, even though there's a rove, most animals don't have holes in the lungs either. So that's already enters into the category of what's called the Mir HaMatzui. There's already a realistic chance. There's already a significant number, significant minority, which you have to be cheshish for. To say that the animal has a hole in its stomach, hole in its head, hole in its heart, it's so unlikely. One of 100 chances that that's true, you don't even have to bother checking for that. But when it comes to a problem in the lungs, so the odds are much greater. So therefore, the halacha requires they have to check for it. So that's a big machlekes poskim. Is that a din deraisa? Is that a din derabanan? So the famous Mishkanos Yaakov claims that that's a real din deraisa, and others disagree. So I hope it's only a din derabanan. So Rashi, we spoke about this in Yevamos, right? Rashi and Chulin writes that in the first part of Chulin, Rashi writes, when you shecht an animal, so everybody knows you have to open up the animal and look at the lungs and see whether it has a sircha, it has a lesion, it has holes in the lungs, you have to check it. And then Rashi says, and what if you didn't get around to checking the lungs? Somebody threw the lungs out. So Rashi says, don't worry about it, you can eat the meat anyway. The whole thing of checking is on itself. Chatchila, Nikra, then you can eat the animal anyway. And then Rashi says, what does he say? He said, don't tell anybody. He said, you tell us, so I violated the doctor. Rashi says, don't tell anybody, but that's forbidden. Because then people they're going to stop checking the lungs. So this din that there's a cutoff point in halacha between less than a mina matzah and more than a mina matzah, that all the Rishonim developed this idea in the beginning of Maseches Chulin. That's what the poskim borrowed, that idea for the checking of bugs as well. So they have a particular vegetable in front of me, a particular food in front of me, and the odds that there's going to be a bug in this food is about 1 in 100 shot. So I'm not mechuyav to check. The same way I don't check for treifus. We drink milk. Most of us assume that you can drink milk today, even though there's a chance there may be some treifus in the animal. But again, it's less than a 1 in 10 chance. So therefore, we don't have to be conservative. It's a 1 in 10. He gave away the number. That's the number. Mishkas Yaakov writes that 1 in 10. That's considered already the amir hamotzi. If it's less than that, less than 10%, then you don't have to bother checking. So we assume that if the facts are that any given food has a less than a 10% chance of having a bug in it, so then you don't have to bother checking. Even if Chapi Shmaya every once in a while has a bug. Between you and me, every once in a while I meet a straight also, but that's okay. You're allowed to rely on rope. Somebody told me that a certain Hashkach organization received a phone call, somebody called up and asked the question, do you rely on rove? The guy was very firm. He says, do you rely on rove? Because I don't want to rely on your Hashkach if you rely on the principle of rove. So the person who answered the phone said, what do we rely on rove? The Torah relies on rove. He says, you can't eat anything if you don't rely on rove. Ram Mahatas, how are you allowed to rely on rove? I remember somebody called me up. They were asking me once, they were